Let's go to Matthew 25 and 15. I'll read you one verse of Scripture. Very familiar. We're going to look at it totally different this morning. Amen. Matthew 25, 15. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. 5, 2, 1. To every man according, it was not just, give you 5, 2, here you take 1. It was every man according to his several ability, which means the ability that he had, and straightway took his journey. I want to talk about this morning, preach from this thought in our minds, beyond my ability. Beyond. What is it that's beyond your ability? Lord, I'm thankful for opportunity. Lord, just the opportunity to be used of you is wonderful. It is great. I'm thankful for that opportunity. Help me never to waste my opportunity that you give me, Lord. For there is a time of visitation when you visit a man and then you take your journey. Lord, let me never miss out on that opportunity to serve in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. And truly, these men had an opportunity and then he took his journey. Beyond my ability, the Bible tells us to compare ourselves among ourselves is not wise. One of the dumbest things you can do. Yeah, that's what it's really saying. That's one of the stupidest things, if I could use that word, you could do is compare yourself to somebody else. Because they're not you. And you're not them. Your abilities are different. Your capabilities are different. Everybody has different abilities this morning. Your capabilities basically are going to be based upon your capacity, the capacity, your mental capacity. Your ability is based upon your mental capacity and or your physical capacity. How about your financial capacity? Your ability will be limited by your capacity. If you don't have the capacity to do it, I don't have the capacity to do it. If I don't have the ability to do it, don't get angry with me because I don't have the ability to do it. You can fuss at me and scorn me and laugh at me and ridicule me all you want to, but if I don't have the ability to do it, I can't do it. I want to talk about what's beyond your ability this morning. Whew. I feel the Lord here tonight, this morning. If you don't have the mental capacity to grasp Chinese math, I mean, we used to look at some math and we said, man, that's Chinese math. If you don't have the ability, I don't know how they read them little symbols. It's interesting to me. But if you don't have the ability to grasp algebra and trigonometry and all these kind of big math, then it'll always be Greek to you. If you can't do it, you can't do it. If you don't have the mind to do it, you don't have the mind to do it. You can't whip a child into learning. You can't scold them into learning if they don't have the mental capacity to do it. And the same thing is about physical impairment. If I only have one leg, I can't run like you run. If you think your big toe is not important, cut it off and see what happens. You'll find that every member is important, but our physical capabilities are different. Your endurance, you may tire out, and my mom will wear you out. Just like that chicken. But I got some of those genes in me too. And Lord, I'll wear you out trying to keep, and not trying to, it's just in me. It's just that endurance, the physical, but if you don't have it, you don't have it. If you need 10 hours of sleep, Lord, get 10 hours of sleep. But if you don't have the physical capability, you can't do what somebody else can do. You have to learn to live with it. If you don't have the financial means, the financial capability to buy what somebody else buys because your job doesn't pay what somebody else's job pays, you may have to live in a smaller home, drive a car that's not quite as fine. That's fine. Do what's within your ability. People go bankrupt doing things beyond their abilities. And sometimes you just have to admit that some things are beyond your ability. Sometimes you just have to admit, I'm not a straight A student. I'm not. I don't care how much you give me to read, I'm still dyslexic. You can't make me not dyslexic. I don't care how much you make me handwrite. My handwriting was D's, D's, and D's, and more D's. That's all it was. That's my ability. So ridicule me if you want to, but that's all I can do. I even say it's less dystic instead of dyslexic. That's how bad it is. And sometimes the best thing that you can do, hear me, somebody, I am preaching to somebody this morning. The best thing that you can do is to realize that you don't have the power within you to compete with others at a higher level and be who you are. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's worth a clap. Hallelujah. The lack of understanding your own ability and capacity will lead you to frustration and aggravation and an inferiority complex to the point you want to quit. No one knows your abilities better than you do. And sometimes you don't even realize your own capacity and your own ability. Sometimes you set up your own defeat by not accepting your own abilities and disabilities, if you will. Sometimes and then there's other times we leave capabilities. Oh, I'd never be able to do that. And you don't even try. Sometimes we limit ourselves by saying, oh, I'll never be able to do that. And you don't even try. I'm going to go back to this parable. You hide it. Your mind is competing against yourself. There's nothing worse than you turning against yourself. That's what an autoimmune disease is, called AIDS. It's when the body turns against itself. There's never been a disease worse than when your own body turns against you. And the quicker you find out what you can do and what you can't do, then you can focus on what you can do and do it good. Because of our inabilities, other people may leave you out. May leave you out because, well, he's not very social. Don't invite him to the party. And they leave you out of the birthday parties. They leave you out of all these things that because your capabilities, you just don't fit in. How many of you ever felt like you didn't fit in? A misfit. There you go. Among my friends here this morning. And sometimes, you know, when they play basketball, I was never the first one they picked in high school. I couldn't figure that out. I was always the one they said, and we'll take Baggett. I was the last one. But I played anyway. I want you to know, give me the ball. Just let me bounce it a couple times so I can feel like I'm part of the team. And if we win or lose, I'll cry with you if we lose. I'll shout with you if you win. Just let me bounce it a couple times because I want to feel like I'm being used. Are you with me this morning? You may not be the lead guitarist or the song leader, but the main thing is don't leave me out completely. You may have to cut my mic down, and you may in the sound room, they may go, that's all right, give me a mic anyway. Let me feel like I'm doing something. Do it for me. Oh, Lord, just don't leave me. If God, if you do anything, let me be part of it. I don't have to be the main thing. Just let me be part of whatever you do in the kingdom. Let me have something to do, hallelujah, so I don't appear to be meaningless. And my life just doesn't drift away. Like at least I bounced it a couple of times, you know, I was part of the team. Hallelujah. And I'm glad that God doesn't leave anybody out based upon our limited abilities. Thank God. He didn't leave me out and he didn't leave you out. Hallelujah. I never dreamed I'd make a doctor and make a preacher and be dyslexic too. In this parable of the talents, we find that the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants. I want you to understand, he already owned them for some reason. They were his servants for some reason. They must have been some good in all of them or he wouldn't have hired them. And he delivered unto them his goods. Boys, come see. And these three servants came as he called them, and they all got something. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't have hired them in the first place if they weren't worthy of leaving his goods with them when he left. And so to the one, he gave 5 talents. And to another, he gave 2. And to another, he gave 1. The Bible says, according to their several, or the ability that one has. And then he straightway took his journey. And he gave out these talents according to their personal abilities. To one, he gave 5. He got the most. You know why? His abilities were more. And then he didn't give the next one 4. I want you to think about this. He went from 5 to 2. It wasn't a 5-4-3-2-1 deal. It was 5-2-1. It was a big drop from 5 to 2. The one in the middle could have said, hey, wait a minute. You gave him 5. But then he'd say, well, yeah, I got twice as much as him. Somewheres in there, you've got to find where you are and be happy with where you are. And quit looking at the guy who got 5, lest the guy that got 1 challenges you. But my point this morning is that we went from 5 to 2 to 1. And if you don't give me 1, then I got what? 0. If you don't give me 1, I got nothing. I feel worthless. I feel useless. Let me bounce it a couple times. Let me feel like I got something to do. And he gave him 1. I want to talk about the one that was almost left out. And I want to look at it different than we've ever looked at it before. Because we always preach this, and that guy went and hit it. I want to talk about a little different today. I don't want to focus on the one and he didn't do anything with it. But I want to focus this morning. I want to give praise to the goodness of the master who included him. I want to give praise to the master who knew his servants and he knew their capabilities and he didn't give any of them more than they could handle. I want to praise a God today, hallelujah, that knows exactly what you need, hallelujah. I want to praise a master today that didn't leave you out when he could have gave you nothing. He said, you know, you're worth something and I'm not going to leave you out lest you feel meaningless in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. In this life, other people may leave us out, but God thought enough of you to include you as he did this man in the parable whom he gave 1. The last one only got 1. It wasn't because of the criticism that we give him. It wasn't because of the ridicule that sometimes we give him. It was because the master had compassion on him and didn't want to leave him out. God will never leave anybody out this morning because of the lack of their abilities. Don't quit because you can't be the lead singer. Don't quit because you can't be over the weed eater. Don't quit because you can't mow. Don't quit, don't quit, don't quit. You've got a part in the kingdom of God. You've got something that you can do, or God would not have chosen you in the first place. As I said, they were already servants for some reason. God has already chosen you, and he's not going to leave you out. So rather than praising the servant this morning that had 5 talents, and look, he got 5 more. Praise the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And then we look at the one who got 2, and he got 2 more. Praise the Lord. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that guy who just got 1 couldn't handle the 1. Rather than doing that, how about you and I praising the God who gave him an opportunity and praising the God who said, you can handle 5, you can handle 2, and you can handle 1. I know your capability. I'm glad I know a God that knows me. Ridicule me if you want to for what little be done, but God knows me. He won't put more on you than you can what? Bear without a way of escape. I think I might be talking to somebody this morning, because I'm here to tell you that the guy that got 5, if he had brought back just 1, What do you think would have happened to him? Well, the guy that had one, didn't he? He brought back the same one, right? But the guy who had five, what would have happened if he had brought back just one? He'd have been lost. What would have happened if he had brought back four? He'd have been lost. Because he knew his ability. He didn't give him more than he could do. He gave him exactly what he could do. And what we need to learn from the parable is God is merciful and doesn't leave anybody out. Hallelujah. He doesn't leave anybody out. I don't care who you are. I don't care how poor you are. I don't care what mental capacity you're in. You can blame, say, my mama dropped me when I was 3 years old. That's fine. But God knew that. He knows that. And he'll give you, according to your abilities, something to do in the kingdom of God. I believe the man that got one, if he had brought back one more, hear me, he'd have said, enter in to the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. He was almost left out. Have you ever felt almost left out? Lord, and almost. If you almost backslid, David had a psalmist named Asaph, and he said, my feet were almost gone. My feet well nigh slipped. I was almost gone. And then I went into the sanctuary of the Lord and remembered, it's not me that's in slippery places, it's them that's in slippery places. He began to realize that God knew what he was going through the whole time he was going through it. I'm glad I got a God that knows me. Paul said, oh, that I might know him through the resurrection and the power of his suffering. Hallelujah. We need to know God like God knows us. But we look through a glass darkly, my brothers and sisters. But someday, what we know in part, we shall know him as he is. Oh, my God. You ever almost got in a wreck? How many ever almost got in a wreck? Oh, yeah, almost. Almost saw one the other day. Almost. There's no telling how many wrecks you was almost in and didn't know it. There might be wrecks you caused and didn't know it. Saw a lady one time in my office. I get a lot of wrecks there at that red light I'm at. I saw a lady. She was going to be nice. Let me tell you, there's one place you don't have to be nice, and that's letting people out of restaurants. You don't have to be nice there. It's okay. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Lady gonna let me out. My wife, we just got married. Y'all got time for this? Chicken crowed anyway this morning. I'm up. We got married and she had this little sunbird, wasn't it? Hatchback, you know, little sunbird. She had a better car than I did. And so I was driving it. We went to Popeye's. That's all we could afford back then. Still like it. But traffic's backed up and my lady went, me to come on out. I looked both ways and pulled out. I mean, my head hit the side of that window, and I was like, you know how them cartoons are doing this? It's true. There's no joke. I was doing that. And I looked. Somehow her knee hit the glove box. We got here on the side. Hit the glove and broke it open. And I don't know if it was my head or her head hit the windshield. Was your head or my head? Sorry. The Lord knew that was going to happen. And cracked the windshield from the side. And she went, I don't know how that happened. But I totaled her sunbird. But what I was going to tell you was, there at Wendy's, a lady was going to be nice and let somebody out. So she hit her brakes to stop. And I'm telling you, it was a three-car pileup behind her. And she didn't even know it. The car came out and she just went home. On the glory. There's no telling how many times almost has happened and you didn't even know it. Hallelujah. Almost gave up. Almost got fired. The boss was going to fire you this morning. He changed his mind. Almost failed the grade, but somehow the teacher gave you a D on that handwriting instead of an F. Almost fell asleep at the wheel. Anybody almost fell asleep at the wheel? Just me. Okay. Hallelujah. Drinking a Coke and eating cheese crackers don't help. God is the master of helping us. Listen to me this morning when we're almost gone. God is the master of waking you up. David said, lighten mine eyes lest I sleep the sleep of death. God, put some toothpicks or whatever you got to do. Keep me from going to sleep because I don't want to sleep. If I sleep, I might sleep the sleep of death. Keep me awake. Almost gone. Almost gave up. Whoo, I want to show you this. This is good stuff right here. Go to Hebrews 9 and 18. Almost. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. Old Testament, Moses, law. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Boy, there was a lot of blood slinging. And almost, say almost. Say it again, almost. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission or remission of sins. And almost, Brother Valentine, all things are by the law purged with blood. But if it's almost, what is it that's not? If it's almost, then what is it that's not? So I had to do a little study. How can you get around the blood? Almost all things in Moses' law is purged by the blood. Without, okay, almost. What if you didn't have any blood? Would the law require if you didn't have it? I've heard in the Old Testament, if you didn't have a lamb, you better steal one. Because the Lord's going to need, you need blood. But the book says almost. Almost. That means not everything. Not everything in the law was purged by blood. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 5. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. Oh, that must be it. No. That sounds good. Just confess. That's almost. But he goes on. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin. Okay, an offering for sin, okay, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid, a young one of the goats, pure one, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. Now, let me put it together. This is like the guy that had five talents. Because he had a flock. He had a lot. You got a choice. Take your little lamb or a little kid. He's got so many he gets to pick. He's got abilities coming out of his nose. Lots of abilities. So just pick. He's like the guy that had a lot of abilities. So for your sin, pick your lamb out of your flock. And bring that blood for the offering. But verse 7 says, if he be not able. What happens if you don't have a flock? What happens if you don't have a choice? What happens if your capacity is less than lambs? What happens if you don't have a little kid goat? What happens if you can't afford to raise the lamb? You don't have the property to raise the lambs. Watch. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves. Two turtle doves. I've got one nesting in my barn right now. I'll leave her alone. She's on her second litter. I guess you call it litter, flock, whatever, this year. Two turtle doves and two young pigeons, or two young pigeons. So you got doves, or you can bring pigeons. They're really a dove too, unto the Lord. One for a sin offering and one for a burnt offering, and he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for sin offering, and wring off the head of his neck, but shall not divide it asunder. You've got to get the blood. How many of you ever took a chicken? I know a chicken I'd like. And he shall sprinkle the blood, almost all things, by the blood. He's going to take the blood of a little dove, and he's going to take that blood for a sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall be wrung out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer a second for a burnt offering according to the manner, and the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, which he hath sinned, and he shall be forgiven him. This is like the guy who had two talents. Amazing. This is like the guy, he don't have all the flock. He doesn't have lamb. He doesn't have kid goat. He doesn't have bullocks. All he's got is a couple pigeons and a couple turtle doves. And the Lord said, it's got blood, so bring it. And he didn't have the capabilities. Are you with me this morning? He didn't have the capacity to have lamb. So the Lord could have said, well, I only accept lambs around here. But no, this good master, that's why I want to praise him this morning, because he saw he can't do that. He's not capable of doing that. I'm going to move the bar down. Now, some Christians don't like that. I'm telling you, there's a lot of condemners don't like that. They want you to be like me. Pharisees and hypocrites. And so this is like the two man. He went from 5 to 2. Watch verse 11. But if he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves. Oh, we're going to the one man. If he be not able to bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, then he that hath sinned shall bring for his offering the 10th part of an ephah of fine flour. For a what? For a what? A sin offering. He shall put no oil in it. You don't need to do that. Neither shall he put any frankincense. Don't make it smell good thereof. Don't try to just give me what you got. For it is a sin offering. A lamb had a lot of blood. Hear me this morning. A lamb had a lot. If we're going to measure it by how much blood, only the guy that had the lamb can be saved. But when you move down to the turtle dove, they don't have near as much blood as a lamb. But I'm here to tell you, flour ain't got no blood in it. So almost all things are purged by the blood. But if you don't have it, you don't have it. And the only blood there is in flour is the blood and sweat you put into getting it and making it and grinding it a fine flour. You put some effort into it. If that's all you're capable of, that's all God required of you under the law. Can you clap your hands unto our mighty God? Woo, almost all things are purged with blood. But this guy says, I don't have a lamb. I don't have any turtle doves, but I got a little flour. He said, bring it. Watch, verse 12. Then shall he bring it to the priest, and the priest shall take his handful. Oh, my God, do you understand how small this is compared to the guy who has the lambs and the choices? All he's got is a handful. A handful of it, even a memorial thereof, and burn it on the altar. Just let me bounce it a couple times. Are you still with me? Just let me feel like I'm part of the team. Just go ahead and burn it. I know there's no blood in it, but just burn it anyway. Let me feel like it atoned for my sins. And he shall burn it on the altar according to the offering made by fire unto the Lord. It is a sin offering. Hallelujah. So the one talent guy got the same treatment.
He was almost left. The guy that had this could have been left out. They could have said, we only accept blood around here. But our God, in His mercy, knew the capability of every one of us before we ever started our journey. He knew what would happen to you along life's way. And He said, I'm not going to hold them responsible for any more than they're capable of doing. I like that. I don't like people. I like God. I like His mercy. And I'm glad, like David, it endureth forever. Ooh, as they come this morning. Verse 13 said, and the priest shall make an atonement for him. Whew, as touching his sin. I'm going to go through the same ritual I went through with the others. And it hath sinned in one of these, and it shall be forgiven him. Did you hear that? I don't know if you heard that. It shall be forgiven him. And there was no blood. But there was ability. And the remnant shall be the priest as a meat offering. They had, see, the priest, they ate this, they cooked. You don't understand this. He went through the same thing with the guy who had the meal as he did the guy that had the lamb. God is a just God. Whoo, He's so just. And the poor guy that got one, I'm going to tell you where he messed up. He hid it. That's the only place he messed up. He hid it. You can't do anything in hiding. He hid what he had. And he looked at him and said, pal, you should have went to the exchangers. Just do something. I'd rather you lose it trying than do nothing. And he hid it. You may feel this morning almost left out. But I'm here to tell you, God loves you if you got one. Hallelujah. David said, I'd rather be the doorkeeper at the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Than to be out there dwelling in with the wicked. Hallelujah. Just let me say, sir, would you like to sit here? Ma'am, we're glad to have you here this morning. Who can't do that? Who can't do that? Give me a minute. One day, Jesus visiting Simon. The what? The Pharisee. He had a nice house. You know how I come? I know he had a nice house. He had servants. And he had guests. And he invites Jesus over his house with all the other disciples. They all come. He must have barbecued chicken or something. I don't know. He was feeding them all. Big party. And then in the middle of the party, in bust through the doors, a lady. They said that she was a sinner. If this man was a prophet, he would know that she's a sinner. Let me tell you what he knows is her capabilities. That's what he knows. And the disciple said, shall we thrust her away, Master? He said, no. He said, Simon, I have somewhat to say to thee. And Simon said, say on, Master. He said, you know, when I came to your party, you didn't wash my feet. When I came to your party, you didn't anoint my head. You didn't do anything. Hey, Jesus, sit over there. But this lady hath not ceased to anoint my feet and wash them with her tears. And she broke open an alabaster box and poured that oil upon his feet and wiped them with the hairs of her head. And you know what he said? This woman has done what she could do. Great is her reward. This is all she has come, the Bible said, aforehand to anoint me for my burial. She gave up what she had. That's all she had. But she gave all she had to him who could give it all back to her. You know what God's expecting out of you? And you too. And and you too, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. You know what he's expecting? All. All. It may not be much, but he's expecting all. Except you serve me, he said, with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You're not going to be part of the kingdom. He needs your all. It may not be but a handful, but you have to give him, my brothers and sisters, you have to give him your all. God will never require of you beyond what you're capable of doing, physically, mentally. Some people want to be happy. You know what? I hate to tell you, they may never be happy. I'd love to preach a sermon. Oh, someday you're going to be happy. I'm going to tell you, some people don't have the mental capacity to enjoy life. And unless God heals their mind, they won't ever happen. And sometimes you just got to settle down and say, I got to be happy with what I am anyway. And where I am anyway. Because there's nothing worse than keep reaching for something you can't get. You ever had something on that shelf and you can't reach it? It's frustrating. And you want to quit. Under the law, almost all things are purged with blood. Almost. But under the New Testament, all things are purged by His blood. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. When He came like a beggar. He came of no reputation. Hallelujah. We esteemed Him not. We hid our faces as it was from Him. He had no reputation, no report. Who shall believe our report? What Isaiah said. Because He didn't look like a king, smell like a king. He didn't act like a king. But He died like one on a cross. And on that cross, He said, he that hath no money, let him come. He that hath not, let him come. You need to come to God because no matter what you have, how little it is, God already paid the price. Are you hearing me this morning? God has already. You say, well, I don't have. No. Don't matter what you have. He's already paid your price. Would you stand? It's the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, in the Old Testament, almost all things. But in the day that we live in, one man shed his blood for how many? All. The whole world. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. He shed His blood and gave His all that you might enjoy all. As we gather around this morning, I wish you would come forward. I want to sing a song called The Blood. Find you a place to stand and thank God that you are. Listen, thank God that you are who you are. God knew before you ever darkened the doors of this church, before your mama ever had you, God already knew your faith. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank God for who you are this morning.
It's the blood.
Hallelujah.
Gives me strength from day to day.
It's gonna never. Hallelujah. If you need a touch in your body, I want you to come forth. Hey, man, if you want to pray for somebody, I want you to come forward. You want to stand in for somebody else, come forward. Hallelujah. Because His blood reaches to the highest mountain. Hallelujah.
And it flows to the lowest valley.
Oh, yes.
It's the blood that gives me strength.
It's His blood. It's His blood.
Someday,
hallelujah.
Today,
it will never lose
its power.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Will it soothe?
Listen to this.
All my doubts and
it calms. What are you worried about? What are you worried about?
And hallelujah.
Oh, yes, it does.
Of my tears.
Yes,
the blood that gives me strength
from day to day.
It will never lose.
Thank God it reaches.
To the Lord.
Glory to God.
Took that lamb and the blood, and they went to shaking it on the people. How many like to get blood on you? Nobody. But the only way to get atonement was to apply the blood. Let me tell you, when it's Passover, if you didn't apply the blood, sister, you didn't make it. You had to apply the blood. So you can back up if you want to. But if you don't get the blood on you, Daddy, you sure you put enough on that lentil? You sure you put enough on that? Because the firstborn's going to be dead by in the morning. Put some more, Daddy. You better get the blood. And they take that lamb, they take that blood, and Moses go around. Now, you can't do a whole lot with two turtle doves. But they dripped it around the altar and did what they could do. Now, you sure can't do much with a... But we're going to go through the motions. And the Bible says it was a sin offering. But in the New Testament, the Bible says his soul was made a sin offering for you and I. It can do something. Let me tell you, the blood of Jesus can do something. Hallelujah. Where the blood of bullocks and goats came up short, the blood of Christ, we're going to sing it again, it reaches. What you couldn't reach, it reaches. Hallelujah. Where that's what the grace of God is all about. What you can't reach, it reaches. What you can't do, it can. Where you fail, it can't. It doesn't. Hallelujah. Sing it again. Would you sing it one more time from the bottom of your heart? Let it reach for you. Hallelujah. Woo, glory to God.
Oh, because it reaches to the high.
Why don't you reach your hands up towards heaven and reach for it? Hallelujah.
And it flows to the lowest valley.
Oh, yes, it does. It's the blood. It's the blood. It gives me strength. Hallelujah.
From day to day, it will never lose its power.
Never lose its power.
Because it reaches.
Because it reaches. Hallelujah. Thank God it reaches. It reaches the vilest sinner. Hallelujah. It reaches out of the gutters. Hallelujah. Out of the church house. Hallelujah. Out into the streets. Glory.
It's the blood that gives me strength from
for it this morning. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, glory to God. Here we are 2,100 years later approximately, and you know what? The blood still works. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for the blood. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the blood. Have I told you I'm thankful for the blood? Because it took my place. Hallelujah. He hung on a cross and bled for me because I'm the one that should have been on the cross. It reaches to the lowest sinner. Leave her alone. I know her capabilities. That's all she's got. You need to tell the devil, leave me alone. That's all I can do. Between me and God. It's not between me, you, and God. It's not between me and you and him either. You understand? It's not between me and you and him. It's between me and God. Between you and God. You and God. Nobody else. They're not the judge. Between you and God. All he requires, whatever you got, give back to him. Give it all. Give it all you got. Hallelujah. You ever done something? You say, this time I'm going to give it all I got. I've tried to take lids off of something, and I'm getting weaker as I get older. And I go, I'm going to get it this time. I'm going to give it all I got.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But I'm telling you, when I live for Him, every day, I'm going to give it all I got. Clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming on this Memorial Day. Do not forget, somebody gave their life for your freedom today. Be careful going home. Enjoy your holiday tomorrow. Amen. And don't forget to pray for your pastor. Amen.